Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We hear a lot in politics and social media about upholding family values. But in this passage, Jesus gives us a very different version of what family values really are and who a family really is. For Jesus, family is not defined by comfort, agreement, or culture. Family is defined by faithfulness to the kingdom of God. By the time Matthew's gospel was written, those early Christians knew the cost of Jesus' family personally. Some were estranged from their families because they chose to follow Christ. Some lost homes, income, and security. Some were persecuted. Some were martyred. And today, following Jesus can still create conflict. An adult child may choose a religious practice that's different from their parents. A spouse may choose to worship on Sunday morning when the rest of the family goes for brunch. A business person may choose a job with less moral compromise, even if it means less pay. Faith in Christ touches every part of our lives, how we spend our money, how we use our time, how we care for the living, and how we bury our dead. So it's no wonder that when other members of a family do not share that faith, they may resent those choices and the impact those choices have on them. But Jesus is blunt. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those early Christians knew the cross of Jesus, and they knew persecution as they carried their own crosses, sometimes to their death. Jesus told them to not fear persecution. But this raises kind of an honest question. Is persecution still present in the world? Do we have something to fear? For many Christians in this country, this text can sound distant, even extreme. Most of us haven't had our lives threatened because of our faith. For many of us, church membership has brought friendship, support, and belonging. This is very different in many parts of the world. Yes, Christians are still persecuted to this very day. Voice of the Martyrs is one organization that tracks persecution across the world. They prepare this prayer guide so that we can pray for our siblings in Christ across the globe. I have multiple copies of this on the table in the narthex, and I encourage you, take one home and see where persecution still exists. And if we think we're immune to conflict over faith in our own country, we are not. Persecution doesn't always look the same. Sometimes it's violent. Sometimes it's social. Sometimes it appears as exclusion from the very place where people help to serve God. Just this week, the Southern Baptist Convention voted to further restrict women in ministry. They are not allowed beyond the altar rail. The Lutheran Church of the Missouri Synod plans to do the same thing at its convention this summer. America is full of divisions, political, economic, social, racial, ethnic, and gendered. Those divisions do not stop at the front door of the church. They do not stop at the front door of our homes. Some families can't even gather for Thanksgiving or Christmas without old wounds being reopened. This is seen in the rise of Christian nationalism, where family values are often defined so narrowly they divide rather than heal. But Jesus does not call us to protect a cultural slogan. Jesus calls us to follow him. Does Jesus want us to be persecuted or martyred? No. But persecution often follows when the people of God expose evil, challenge power, demand change, and undermine the status quo. And even the thought of that can make us afraid. Fear of persecution is real and natural. But Jesus gives us three reasons not to fear. First, do not fear, because God will reveal the truth. Jesus says, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Evil loves darkness because darkness hides evil deeds. But God will not allow evil to have the final word. Second, do not fear because evil cannot destroy the soul. Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Those who persecute may harm the body, but they do not hold eternity. Only God does. Third, do not fear because God sees even the sparrow. Jesus asks, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? The sparrow was the most common and smallest of birds. They were often sold for food. And yet not one of them falls outside the care of God. If God sees the sparrow, then God sees you. If God cares for what the world calls insignificant, then God will care for you. So what do we do when we face persecution, both at home and abroad? Well, our Christian belief gives us four promises. First, the Holy Spirit will be present. God will not abandon us. Second, we know our suffering is not from God, but may be retold as a testimony to faith. Third, even in hardship, nothing can destroy God's loving and watchful care for the faithful. And fourth, yes, following Jesus may disrupt even our closest relationships. There may be moments when allegiance to Jesus creates a crisis of loyalty, forces a decision. The gospel shakes up values, rearranges priority, and reorients our goal. We do not define family as only one small part of society defines it. We define family as the beloved children of God. Our family includes every race, gender, age, nationality, and culture. And we have one family value: to follow Jesus. So, dear church, come to this table of grace. Come as children of God. Come as members of Christ's family. Then go from this table and live that family value. Follow him. Love one another and bear witness without fear. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.